We'll go to 1 John. Book of 1 John tonight. Parker's mom and dad are out of town, so his uncle is up to visit a couple days. So Parker, I'm going to have you introduce your uncle to us tonight. That's okay. All right, we're glad to have Joe with us tonight. Appreciate you coming. I'm not sure I'm glad that you're an attorney, but I'm glad. Please, if I say anything that's legally wrong, just don't say anything to anybody. Anyway, you know, today in this age, you really got to be careful what you say. You think you'd be safe in a pulpit, but if you live in Canada tonight, you're not safe in a pulpit. You're not in Canada. There are things you are not allowed to preach. Yeah. And coming to a church in the United States near you. So they're already pushing those things. But anyway. 1 John. We began this morning. I'm going to continue tonight. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. And then he tells us, in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. This morning, as we began to look at the book of 1 John, I tried to overemphasize the fact that this book is not a book to make you doubt your salvation. It is a book intended to encourage you, as we saw this morning in the first four verses of chapter 1, so that your joy can be full. And when he comes to the end of his writing the letter to these people, he said, I just want you to know you can have confidence in your Savior and know that you're saved. That's the purpose of this book. Not to confuse people, not to cause people to doubt their salvation, but to help people have confidence in it. Because we won't look at it right now, but there in 1 John chapter 5, after he says those things, he says, if we know that he hears us when we pray, we have the petitions that we ask of him, all based on this, confidence. Confidence that you know him, confidence that he hears you, confidence that because you're his child and you know it, God is going to work in your life. So it's very important. And so we look again this morning at the first four verses of chapter 1, and we looked at John's declaration. And let's just read those first four verses again. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And this morning we looked at John's declaration of the person of Christ. And he said, you can have fellowship with this one that we touched and we heard and we saw with our eyes. You can have as much fellowship with him as John said we did when we walked those three and a half years with him during his ministry. Tonight, I want you to go and read with me verses 5 through 10. Verses 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, I ask that you would help me this evening to be able to proclaim your word as you desire it to be proclaimed. I ask that you fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit tonight. I thank you that he dwells in me. And I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you have called me to the ministry of the saints. Use me for your glory. Use me to be a blessing to your people. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice tonight, as John does, declaring his message. And he says, this is the message that we're declaring to you. He says, the message is this: God is light. God is light. And we know that the Word of God teaches us about that truth, that God is light. The choir sang a song this morning. It's kind of a different kind of song style that we don't normally use. And it's taken from Psalm 27:1. And that verse says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is my light, and he is. In James chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says that he is the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's the Father of lights. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, we hear these words, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. The Bible tells us, and John declares it again, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What does he mean by that? I believe he's telling us that God is not only that Shekinah glory light. That's what Peter, James, and John experienced when they went on the mount with Christ and they see Moses and Elijah descend, and the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured before them and they saw that glory. They saw that light, if you would. It is a representation in a sense, although I believe it's literal. It's still a representation of the fact that God is holy. 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 He's thrice holy. And in God there is no sin. He's sinless. No darkness at all. In Revelation 15, verse 4, we hear these words, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou alone art holy. He's a holy God. In him is no darkness at all. I can't say that about myself, nor can you. Now, we know that he has made us righteous, and we're covered by the blood of Christ, and as God looks at you tonight, as God looks at Bethany Labou, and as God looks at Elijah, and as God looks at Nick, here's what he sees. He sees young men and a young woman in total righteousness. Why? Because the blood of Christ covers them. But we also know what Paul himself said. He said, I know that in me, I know that dwelleth in me, there's no good thing. And he talks about the sin of his flesh. We'll look at that in just a moment. But we're told that God is light. He is sinless, no sin, no darkness at all in him. And John simply says, this is the message I'm declaring to you. Now listen, God is light. He's thrice holy. He has no sin. You say, great, that's a nice message. We get it. Now what does God expect out of you? He expects you to be holy. He expects you to mimic himself. Be holy as the Lord your God is holy. He wants in you and in me this reality and this character. Holiness and no darkness at all. You say that's an impossibility. You just tried to quote what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. I know, but the goal for you and the goal for Pastor Vaughn is this: to be light. You are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. You are the light of the world. And he said, that's what my Father is. He said, that's what I am, and that's what I expect you to be. And it doesn't do the world any good if you claim to be light, but they constantly see darkness in you. They constantly see sin. Brother, God tells us to put away sin in our life. God tells us to be light. John says, this is the message that I'm declaring to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We sing a song once in a while. What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how blessed to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. And we talk about having fellowship with God. Now, I understand it's probably not the intent of anybody to grab a hymnal and sing that, whether you sing like a lark or you sing like not a lark. But anyway, it's probably not your intention to be lying to people, nor to lie to God. But if you stand and sing that as a testimony song, and if you sing that testimony, you might as well be speaking the testimony. And if you have sin that's undealt with, he said, you're lying. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. God's standard for you as his child is not 75% goodness and only 25% badness. I'm sorry, I don't care what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. I'm convinced and have been for years that the book of Ecclesiastes is based from a backslider standpoint. I've believed that for years. Long after I believed that, from my impression from the Holy Spirit, I heard J. Vernon McGee agree with me. You say, no, you agreed with J. Vernon McGee. Well, I know he lived a long time ago, and he had those truths a lot longer than I did, but I never heard him say it. So it's just like, hey, that's confirmation to me. I'm convinced that when Solomon speaks in Ecclesiastes, he said, be not over-righteous, but don't be over-evil either. I'm convinced he's looking at that from a backslidden standpoint. Because you know what our argument is? When we're really not right with God, well, I'm trying. I'm doing good in most of the areas of my life. And listen, I do believe God is patient. I do believe he's merciful. And I do believe that there are times that God winks at the ignorance of foolish men. But the reality is, for you and for me, is light and no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, even if it's only 25% of the time or 15% of the time or 5% of the time, we lie and do not the truth. That, my friend, is the standard. You say, Pastor Vaughn, you're putting a standard on us that we cannot achieve. I'm not putting a standard on you. God is. If you want to argue with him, don't come argue with me after the service. Well, Pastor Vaughn, we just don't agree with that. Fine. Because I'd like to argue the same thing, except I can't. Because that's what he said. We deceive ourselves, he tells us. We deceive ourselves. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do not the truth. I want you to think with me tonight. How can I walk in light and not have darkness at all in me? I think one of the practical things that you and I need to do as God's children is not start a day nor end a day without going to God privately and doing exactly what David did. Say, what did he do? Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Can I ask you a question? Don't raise your hand. I want to ask you, though, do you come before God and ask him to do that? Okay, God, here I am. Just search me. to search me. God, while I wait here quietly, you remind me of anything I've said, anything I've thought, anything I've done that you're displeased with. I am so convicted when I pray that God will not hear me if I regard iniquity in my heart. There are times I start out praying, you know, that's what I'm doing on Wednesday nights. We're going through prayers, the prayers of the saints. And for 5 weeks, we've been on the Lord's Prayer there in Luke 11. And I'm convicted every time I pray, Jeff, I will not hear you if you are regarding iniquity in your heart. So you better search your heart right now. You better search your heart. What did you do today? What did you look at? What did you see? What did you hear? I want it dealt with. I want it dealt with. He wants us to walk in light. And he says, if we claim we have fellowship with God and we're walking in darkness, oh, you know, it's a little sin. It's just a little thing. God said, we're deceiving ourselves. And he said, the truth is not in us, because the truth is he wants you to walk in purity and holiness. And it's not an unreasonable standard. It's an attainable standard when you throw your dependence on him. I want you to go over with me to this 19th Psalm, Psalm 19. Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, I'm going to begin to read in verse 12. Again, this is David speaking. And David makes this statement. Notice the very first sentence. Who can understand his errors? Brother, if there was ever a reason for you to say to your God, search me and know my heart, it's that reason. Who can really understand his errors, his faults? And that's what the word faults refers to, our offenses, our errors, the things that we do that are obviously wrong. He said, God, I want you to help me to understand when I'm doing wrong. I may not see it. I may be blind to it. God, you reveal it to me. And sometimes God will use another believer. For all I know, sometimes he might use a lost person to help you see when you have a blind spot in your life and you are not walking as you ought. Who can understand his errors? Now notice the next sentence. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. God, that it's not necessarily that you're trying to cover it, it's the fact that you don't realize it's there. And you need to be approaching God on a continual, daily basis. God, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. You say, what is that? Well, I have a little note written in my Bible. It says this. It's failing to observe the limits of what is permitted. God says, this is the way you're to walk. These are the things you are to do. And when I do not observe the limits that God has put on me, not the Baptist church, but the limits of his word, when I don't observe those limits, those guidelines that God has placed upon me, it is presumptuous, arrogant, proud, and brazen. I'm going to do what I want. I know God said I'm not to set any wicked thing before mine eyes, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. A brazen, arrogant sin called a presumptuous sin. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Here's what happens with secret faults that leads to presumptuous sin. It leads to the great transgression. There are people that I never thought would commit adultery, but have. There are people I never thought might take another human's life, but they have. Because sin is not dealt with, and short accounts made, and it leads to things and places you don't want to go. Now, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, there are certain standards by which a person has to attain in order to teach in Sunday school here. And I've made them tougher, not easier. Because God's standards are much more stricter than mine. God says, I want you as my child to make sure the meditation of your heart, the words of your mouth are acceptable in my sight. God's standards are much higher than mine. God's standards are much higher than the average Baptist church. God says, I want you to live holy. And if we say, going back to 1 John verse 6, 1 John chapter 1 verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Notice verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, that one another, you notice back again in verse 3, John stressed to the people, he said, we're declaring who God is, who Jesus Christ is, so that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Real fellowship between another believer can only occur when you're having real fellowship with the Father and the Son. If you're not having fellowship with the Father and the Son, you may have a pal. You may be able to freely talk about the West Virginia Mountaineers or the Pittsburgh Steelers. You may be able to talk about hunting or a shopping trip or your latest, you know, gown that you bought. But listen, you don't have real fellowship. If you're not in fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, you cannot really have true fellowship with another believer. Not the kind of fellowship that God desires us to have. But he says, but if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And when this walking in light occurs, notice the last part of the verse, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Listen, when you are walking into life and sin begins to touch you, there's an immediate conviction, and it should be an impression for immediate confession. I don't want that ruling in my life. I don't want that sticking with me all day long. God, it was a wrong thought. God, it was a wrong word. God, it was a wrong attitude. And I'm dealing with it not tonight when I go to bed. I have people tell me all the time, I confess my sins when I go to bed at night. And I feel like saying, okay, let's see. This morning you sinned. Yeah, I did. And so you went for 12 hours with sin in your life. And Jesus Christ could have come back at any time within those 12 hours, and you would have met him not having confessed sin and walking in the light with him. You need, and I need, to deal with sin immediately. When God brings it to mind, it needs to be dealt with. Not tonight, not tomorrow, not next week, not in the next revival meeting. Immediate dealing with sin. If we walk in the light. He said, when we walk in the light, we can have fellowship with each other, which in essence means we have fellowship with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who is God? He is light. God is light. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is light. In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we hear these words, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John called Jesus the light. In John chapter 1 verse 9, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's John the Baptist's testimony about Jesus Christ. Jesus' own testimony about himself is found in John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, here's my point. If God is light, you need to be doing everything you can to snuggle up next and be real close to God. And if Jesus Christ is light, you need to be doing everything you can to snuggle up and walk really close to be like Jesus. Peter said he left us an example that we should what? follow in his steps. Okay, Jesus dealt with people this way, that's the way I'm going to deal with them. Jesus spoke this way to people, that's the way I'm going to speak to them. Jesus was patient with the sinner, that's the way I'm going to deal with them. I mean, you just take, he was a servant to others, that's what I'm going to be. He didn't come to make a reputation for himself, that's the way I'm going to be. I am going to walk in the light of God the Father. I am going to walk in the light of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 119, verse 30. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. I am a simple man in my thought processes. I don't understand calculus. I do not understand trigonometry. I did not do well in the sciences. I'm saying to you, by most people's standards, I am a simple man. God tells me this: you get into my word, I'll give you understanding. You get into my word and you walk in my light, I'll give you understanding. I'll take you who is simple, and I hope you confound the wise. That's God's attitude. Listen, I don't know, maybe we have, and I know we have at least three people who hold doctor's degrees in our church. Actually, I think four. At least four people that I'm aware of, maybe more, that have doctorates here in our church. We have some very well-educated people in several different fields. I'm not one of them. But I tell you this, whether you are extremely educated or average in education or just below average, listen, that doesn't impress God one way or the other. God just says, even if you're simple in mind, I can give you understanding. I can give you wisdom. I can do things in you if you'll simply allow my word to be light in your life. And you can take anybody who will get serious with God and spend quality time in this book, and God will give that person wisdom and understanding. Read the 119th Psalm. He talks about even those who are young confounding the elders, having more wisdom than their teachers. Why? It has nothing to do with age or education. It has everything to do with a man or a woman's willingness to be in this book on a consistent, regular basis. That's the key. But the point of this is simply, you can get the light by getting into this book. You can get the light by getting into this book. Peter put it this way, 2 Peter 1:9, we have a more sure word of prophecy, talking about the Bible. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in darkness. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against. See, that's what the standard is. He said, I want you to walk in total light, holiness, no darkness at all. Where do you find light? You find light in God the Father. You find light in Jesus Christ. You find light not only in the living word, Jesus Christ, but in the written word, the Bible that you hold in your hands. And God says, take every advantage of it. There's an interesting passage, and I want you to turn there in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verses 13 and 14. I confess to you, for a long time I did not understand this. I believe God has given me understanding over the last few years. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Ephesians 5:13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You notice that phrase, he says, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Whatever makes known the error of your way, that secret fault, that presumptuous sin, or whatever it is that may be hidden to your sight right now, whatever God uses, whatever whatsoever doth make manifest his light. In other words, I believe he's saying this. Whatever device I use to reveal sin in you, that's light. Yes, God is light. Jesus Christ is light. The written word is light. And sometimes it's your child that is light. You say, what do I mean? You're sitting there watching your Roku, your Netflix, your cable, whatever it is you have, maybe on your computer, just you and your wife. And your little child gets up because they can't sleep, and they walk in and they look at what you're looking at, and they look at you and they say, that's bad. Now, you understand what I'm saying? God just used those little children. Well, that's irritating, isn't it? Turn me off. Yeah, there you go. Let me clip myself back up. Okay, now I'm ready. God just used that child to bring conviction to your heart. You're doing something that's not right. But I'm an adult. It's okay. And God used that child to bring you back into reality. No, that's not okay. You are going a certain direction in your life, and you come to church, and a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ says, hey, you know, when church is done, could I talk to you for a few minutes? And they take you aside and they say, you know, I've noticed some things, and I'm not trying to be ugly to you, and I'm not trying to be, you know, better than thou, but I just noticed that you used to have a fervor. You used to come out every Thursday night. Now you quit coming. You used to be involved. You used to sing in the choir. You used to work in the nursery. You used to be involved. And all of a sudden, you've stopped doing things, and your countenance has even changed. You used to come in with an attitude of joy, and now you seem somber. And I don't know if it's sickness, but I'm concerned about you. Is there anything that I can pray about for you? And all of a sudden, God has used a brother or sister in Christ to bring conviction. You know it's not because you're fatigued. It's not because you're battling depression. It's because you've let sin come in your life, sin that you're just kind of pushing off. No, I'm okay, I'm okay. Listen, I've done my part. I'm okay. And God used that brother or sister all of a sudden to convict you. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so you're flipping through the radio in your car going to work, and you come across 96.7 WVGV or 104.1, the new local Christian radio station here in Bridgeport. And there is a, you name the preacher. I don't care if it's a local guy like a John Freeman or an Oliver Reza, or if it's a nationally known preacher like a David Jeremiah or a Charles Stanley. And you just catch a little bit of a message, and God uses that radio station to convict. I didn't hit it this time. Just to convict you. And whatsoever doth make manifest, that's light. God might use your little child. God might use your next door neighbor. God might use a billboard driving down the road to bring conviction to your heart. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Listen. The Bible tells us he gives us the Holy Spirit. John 16:8. He tells us that the Holy Spirit is given to reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Sometimes you don't need a friend or a child. It's just the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and all of a sudden, God just hits you upside the head. You're not right with me. You don't have any power with me. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And God said, when I shine the light on sin in your life, when I shine the light on something that is right, I expect you to deal with it. We go back to 1 John chapter 1. When I bring you to that point of light shining on your soul and in your inner man, and he reveals sin. He said, I just want you to know this. Good news. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Sin that condemned you before salvation, and sin after salvation that limits your fellowship with God and your effectiveness for God. He said, I just want you to know that the blood of my Son will cleanse you from all sin. But here's a problem, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Listen, if we claim we're sinless, we're only fooling ourselves, and we've bought into the lie. You say, well, there's nobody here that I know would ever claim to be sinless. And I know that. No one will be brazen enough to make a statement like that, but sometimes we act as though we're sinless. When's the last time you've left your seat and come to this altar? For some of you, it's in my 14 years here, it's never been a time where you've come to this altar. You say, well, Pastor Vaughn, it doesn't mean you're getting right with God if you don't come to the altar. No, but it does show a tenderness of heart and an openness. I don't expect everybody, every service to come pile into the altar. I understand that. And I just want you to understand, I'm not looking at anybody who doesn't come every Sunday that they're not right with God. I'm simply saying, is there a tenderness in your heart? Willing to say, God, I'm not going to deceive myself and say, hey, I don't have any sin. I was witnessing to a man, I don't know, it was a last outreach Saturday that we had, and I ended up by myself that day, and I was talking with this man. First thing was, maybe it wasn't the first stop, but he just made the comment, I'm okay as I am. I'm okay. And I'm thinking to myself, brother, none of us are okay. I'm a Baptist preacher, and I know I'm not okay. You know, none of us are okay. Everybody has some kind of a struggle at times. That's what the Apostle Paul said. In Romans chapter 7, verse 17, Paul said this, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul, this great Christian, said, listen, I know that sin dwells in this mortal body. Romans 7, 21, he says, for when I would do good, evil is present with me. And that led him to make this statement in Romans 7, 24. O wretched man that I am, not that I used to be. O wretched man that I currently am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? But then he gives the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ that he can give me victory. And he tells us that there's victory through the blood of Christ, not for a lost man, for a Christian man. Not for a lost woman, for a Christian woman. The blood of Jesus Christ that helped cleanse you and release you from the condemnation of sin is the blood that helps release you so that you can have perfect fellowship with Him. So if we have the audacity to say, as verse 8 indicates, we say we have no sin, you know who we're hurting? We're hurting ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I'm fooling myself if I believe that I never struggle at times with sin. If temptation is not an issue for me, I mentioned this before, and I believe, and when I say this, I highly admired this man. He was a holiness man, came out of the holiness church. Our farm sat here, his farm sat right next to our property. My grandfather lived with us the last few years of his life. He died with Alzheimer's dementia. My grandfather, couldn't go out of the house really. And the next farm over, there was an elderly man. And I believe he was a godly man. He kept tracts in his kitchen table. When somebody came to visit him, handed out tracts. He was a holiness Pentecostal man. Well, that man would once in a while make his way across the fields, walk over, and just have fellowship with my grandfather. And I've told you the story before. I was in my bedroom upstairs. We didn't have air conditioning, so the windows were open. And I was right above the front porch, and my grandfather's on the front porch, and this man comes over, and they begin to talk, and they got on the subject of heaven. And I tell you what, seriously, it was glorious. They got to talking about heaven, and they both were just a few years from it. And they got to crying and laughing and talking about walking the streets of gold. But this man made a statement. He said, I've reached the state of holiness. I no longer sin. I don't believe that's possible only because of what the Bible teaches us. I'm not trying to correct that man, nor do I think his testimony is diminished because of those thoughts, but I don't believe it's actually possible for a believer to reach a state of sinless perfection to where temptation never again occurs and you never, ever sin. The Word of God says, if we say we have no sin, we're just deceiving ourselves. And that aspect of truth is not in us. He said, since that's the reality for every believer, verse 9, if we, not talking about the lost, talking about you and me as Christians, if we confess our sins, He is and will ever be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's not speaking to the lost. Now, I can use that verse with a lost person, but He's not speaking to a lost person. Paul struggled at times with sin. He admitted it in Romans 7. Peter struggled with sin. John struggled with sin. Pastor Vaughn struggles with sin. So what happens when I recognize sin in my life? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. Go to Him, confess it. What does that attitude of confession mean? I'm coming into complete agreement with God. You are right. My attitude toward my wife was wrong. It was sinful. The way I treated my daughter-in-law was wrong. Of course, I've never treated her wrong in a day in my life. Listen, whatever it is, God reveals it. I agree with God. I bring it to Him. I acknowledge my sin and get it dealt with. And God says, good. Now, I through my light, showed you this in your life. You dealt with it. Now you can continue to walk in confidence and freedom. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Same attitude as verse 8, only the difference is this. In verse 8 says, when I say I have no sin, I deceive myself. When I say I have no sin, not only do I deceive myself, but I am saying about God, you are a liar. If I walk around saying, I never sin anymore, I'm perfect, I'm holy, listen, I am saying, God, you're a liar. You said that I do at times sin, but if I'll walk in the light, He'll reveal it and I confess it so that I can walk in holiness, but there's still times that are going to fail. That's why He gives you chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. The goal is not the sin. And if any man sin, when you sin, guess what? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You say, didn't you just say that Peter said, be holy, for the Lord your God is holy? Yes, I did. That is the goal. But here's a problem with getting the mindset, I never sin anymore. You stop going before God and saying, search me. And try me. You quit saying, reveal to me secret faults and presumptuous sins. Oh no, I have reached the state of sinless perfection and I'm okay just like I am. So if I did say a word to you that was not what you thought it ought to be, it's apparently because I in my holiness, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, have just slammed you and you got exactly what you needed. Really? Maybe I just had a stinking rotten attitude and use unkind words, and I ignore the presence of the Holy Spirit, thinking I'm okay just like I am. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? God says, yes, that's the goal, the walk in holiness, but with the reality that even in your saved state, there are times where sin will touch you, but if you'll continue to walk in the light of your Savior, you'll continue to walk in the light of my word. You'll continue to walk with the light of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. You'll continue to walk in the light of whatever I use to reveal to you what may be wrong. If you don't act arrogant and proud, like I'm okay just like I am, like that man told me that day, you'll go before Him and say, God, I'm your child. I have confidence in it. But God, you've shown me something, and I'm going to deal with it so that I can walk on with confidence. walk in the knowledge that you love me, so I can have confidence when I pray, confidence in my relationship with you, and confidence one day, as chapter 2, the end of the chapter, speaks about standing one day in his presence with a boldness and a confidence, those things can happen. God said, I want you to understand where you're at so you can deal with it, not deceive yourself, with the goal always of being holiness. So maybe tonight, God might reveal something to you. Maybe he has used his word tonight. Maybe before you walked in these doors, maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to you driving over to church. Maybe today somebody said something to you to prompt you to think about something that's not been dealt with in your life. The question is, have you already dealt with it? And are you going to deal with it before you continue on so that you can continually walk in the light? Now that's the choice you've got to make. I know what the right thing is, and you know what the right thing is. You've got to make a decision to do what's right. So let the Holy Spirit work. That's a great chapter. That is a great chapter. And it's kind of reassuring. Yes, yes, we are walking in the light, and yes, we are to strive for holiness. But yes, we are, because of this sin-cursed body, tainted sometimes by temptation, and sometimes we find ourselves falling to temptation, and we need to deal with things immediately so that we can continue to walk in the light. In the book of Proverbs, he says, a just man falls how many times? 7 times. He says, it's not a good thing to fall, but it sure is a good thing to get up. So if you have fallen, whether it's a little thing or a major thing, get it back under the blood so you can go forward with confidence. Let's stand with our heads bowed.